With that being said, new middle schoolers, our new fifth graders going to sixth grade, as well as our current middle school and high school students, you guys can officially be dismissed. I know I won't be up there with you guys today, but we have a wonderful team that's going to be with you, including donuts, apple juice, and orange juice. So if you're a middle school or high school student, go up there and make sure you get a treat. Let's give all of our middle school and high schoolers a big round of applause. They're getting ready to play some getting to know you games with some of our new sixth graders, and it's going to be an awesome time up there. We've got a wonderful team who's going to be with them hanging out while we get to finish service down here. So with that being said, this morning, church, I am getting ready to spend some time honoring our interns, our Send Me GP interns. And as you could tell by the video that you just watched, the intern program is busy. Turn to your neighbor and say busy. They're busy. We've launched the Send Me GP internship program now just under 2 years ago for the hope to train and equip the next generation of leaders in fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, says this: "Therefore, and go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Over this two-year program, we've worked hard at completing Bible college classes, traveled the U.S. going to conferences, serving at our local youth group as well as others. We've been on school campuses dropping food off, speaking, and doing worship at different school chapels. We did countless tasks for youth services and youth events. And the interns probably look at me going, yes, we definitely did a lot of those. We fed the homeless in our area as well as others. You saw that in the videos. We actually were able to go to Sacramento and spend some time out there in California. And yes, we can attest to this. We ate lots and lots of fast food, unfortunately. I think I gained some pounds over the course of the past couple of years, but it's all good. We did eat lots of fast food, though. But what I would like to spend some time on this morning, rather than sharing with you all about the things that we've completed, but a lesson that we learned and that I want us to all apply this morning in our celebratory service. I would like to share a thought about the power of a yes. It's so funny that even coming out of the womb that we as humans are anti-yes people. Can I get an amen in the room? We're anti-yes people, which means that we're no people, right? Think about it. As babies, some of our first words are mom, dad, baba, and then shortly after it's no. Yes, sometimes, but majority of the time that statement no rings true. My kids are a little past the just starting their first word stage, and so now they string together sentences, and that's even worse for parents, because I'll tell you why. My son, who's 3 years old, and now my daughter, who is one, both of them are getting ready to turn 2 and 4 here in a few months, their conversations with myself go something like this at nighttime. I look at both of them, and I say, "Dawson, Demi, it's time to go brush your teeth." And they look at me, and they say, "Dad, but I don't want to brush my teeth." And then the argument starts to begin, because I have to then explain to them, hey, well, in order for you to have nice, clean, pearly whites, you got to be able to brush your teeth. And long story short, after some time, eventually the end of the conversation ends a lot differently than how I thought. I thought that immediately once you had kids, they just said yes to you every single time. No, that's definitely not the case. And I did not technically expect that. But I was hoping that they said yes more often than no. But at the end of the conversations, majority of them end something like me grabbing both of them on my shoulders and logging them to the bathroom in order to go brush their teeth. And little did I know that a lot of the no's that I was going to be receiving can sometimes be very daunting. But it's something that we all learn when we're still pretty young. Yes to chocolate cake, but no to lima beans. Yes to playing board games, no to doing the dishes, right? Yes and no are among the first words that we learn. And as we get older, the decisions we face still need yes or no answers. But unfortunately, as all of us know in this room, often come harder questions. Can we push this bill off to next month? Should I apply for that job? Should I move forward with this health procedure? Here's a big one: should I marry this individual? It's one of the conversations I have often with a lot of young adults. There's a story I'd love to read and draw from this morning before we invite our interns up on the stage. And it comes out of Luke chapter 5, and I know if Mark Swanberg is in the room, I think I saw him earlier, he's going to love this passage. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, I'm going to read you guys a few verses this morning. It says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, that one belonging to Simon, and asking him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. And verse 4 is where I want to spend some time on this morning. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, put into deep water and lay down the nets for a catch. Simon, at this point, had what we often have, a yes or no type of question. Simon had a choice. And in verse 5, Simon's response is this. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Lesson number one this morning that I want us to gather is know who is asking the question. Simon was an expert fisherman. He knew exactly how to fish with the equipment to fish. He had the method of how to catch these fish. Simon even starts with an answer of, but Lord, we've been doing this all night. Like, there's nothing in there. Jesus, do you really know? It's almost like he was like debating in his head whether or not to answer yes to Jesus. He said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Or because I know who asked me the question, my response goes, but I'm the expert, to, but because you said so, Lord, I'll let down my nets. We keep reading, and in verse 6 it says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish. I know that, again, I already talked about Mark this morning, but that must be a pretty sight to not even have a number of fish that you caught. They said that they had such a large number of fish that they had to signal their partners in their other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Lesson number 2, when you say yes to God, he fulfills his promises. Simon said yes in this story, and it wasn't that Jesus sort of delivered or kind of delivered or gave them like half full of their fish in their nets. He like fully gave them what he promised. Scripture says that not even two boats were big enough for the catch that day. God will always deliver on his promises. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, Scripture says he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then halfway through verse 10, this is the last lesson this morning before we invite our interns up. It says that in verse 10, and the second portion, it says, Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. We've often heard the phrase, Do not be afraid. From now you will fish for people, or you will become fishers of men, as some translations say. But in verse 11, I love, So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Lesson number 3 this morning, when you say yes to God, you are given a new calling, you inherit confidence in your calling, and you drop everything to fulfill that calling. Simon Peter, after being an expert in his craft, dropped his occupation and became a fisher of men. He had a new occupation given to him, and he dropped what he was doing to go fulfill that. You say, you're sitting here this morning, you say, Chase, I thought we were getting ready to just have some interns come up on stage and receive a graduation certificate and then move on. I thought we were celebrating these young adults this morning. I wasn't expecting some sort of lesson or message. But the reason why I wanted to spend some time this morning is because over the course of these past 2 years, these young adults have taught us a lesson that we learned in Luke chapter 5 about Simon Peter, that when you say yes to God, God will honor you, and God will always fulfill his promises. Let me read this for you as I get choked up the first time I was reading this. Between a young man who is literally here without his family, who stumbled into a church service trying to find purpose, to now see himself aiming towards a bivocational career which his dad has so greatly shown throughout his life. This young man has faced obstacles but has always stayed faithful. As far as Marcos now, he's entrusting his future in God's hands. So if that is finding a trade or tool to be able to support his family while serving in children's, youth, music, or any ministry for that matter, Marcos knew the power of a yes to God. To another young man that no one really knew, if we were being completely honest, until he joined the program a few months into last year, a young man that was connected with a wonderful church, even serving at that youth group in that church, but just wanted to go deeper in his walk with the Lord and wanted to be in full-time ministry of some sort. Jacob is excited to finish his last few classes he needs this summer so that he can apply for his pastoral certification, hopefully sometime in the fall, where he then plans to be a youth pastor at some point in his future. Jacob knew the power of a yes to God. There's a young woman who's been tested and opposed more than most over the past few years. She in high school helped run a Bible club on our school campus and now has been serving at her own youth group in the way of singing, speaking, and leading small groups. A woman who has an evident call to youth ministry on her life and who plans to come back for her second year of the internship program. She's excited to partner in our youth ministry here at Parkway as she plans to help us with our summer student leadership program kicking off in just a few short weeks. And just a quick little plug here, if you've got any students that are middle school and high school students and you want them to have a wonderful opportunity to get poured into in the summer, please go register online because it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. But this woman honestly was tested, tried, but she stood the test because Ayla knows the power of a yes to God. Last but not least is a young man who grew up a pastor's kid, a PK, and at times I'm sure felt like his expectations to go in some sort of church staff ministry role was a given. But what I loved watching these past 2 years from this young man is how even though certain expectations have been unrightfully placed on him, he has still over-delivered and stayed true to what the Lord has declared over him in his future, not just what people have suggested. This young man decided to put his head down and serve his church well. Facilities work, youth ministry, a short stint in kids ministry, he might go back in there in some time. Even now on the sound and media team, Jaden is in the interview process currently on becoming a licensed minister through the Assemblies of God in our Oregon Ministry Network District. And while in this process is looking to land a job with the building code department in the future, Jaden knew the power of what a yes to God would look like. So this morning you're here and you say, Chase, Simon Peter in Luke chapter 5, he learned a really valuable lesson. And this morning I wanted to draw this comparison with our young adults. And these young adults maybe help me understand this morning what it looks like to say yes to God and his plan for my life. I know this is a promotion Sunday, but I felt like we were just supposed to take a moment, and I didn't want to just have another service pass us by without at least not having a call to action. I was reminded as I was reading the scripture in Luke chapter 5 about my yes. My yes looked a lot different than some of your yeses. Your yes looks a lot different than some of the young adults' yeses. Your yes might even look way different than Simon Peter's yes, but I want you to know that when you say yes to God, he is going to honor you and fulfill his promises. And this morning, I just felt like we were supposed to take a moment as a sign of declaration, and I just want you to know I am completely okay if I decide to make this call and not a single person raises their hand. But I felt like the Lord was asking someone inside this place this morning that if you find yourself in the Simon Peter, the young adult, the Jaden, the Ayla, the, whoever's types of situation, you could be 18 years old or you could be 80 years old in this room, and you're still trying to figure out if you can say yes to God. I felt like there was supposed to be a call this morning, and if that's you, I felt like we were supposed to take a leap of faith and be able to lift up a hand and say, hey, Chase, I don't know about you, but that's me this morning. Is there anyone in this room? I just want to be able to pray over you. I'm not going to do anything crazy special this morning. I'm not going to invite you up on stage, but if that's you this morning, thank you. Thank you for the brave individuals. Thank you. We've got a couple. We've got three. We've got four in the back. We've got five, six. There's people all across this room that we all need the reminder this morning to say, God, whatever you have for me, I say yes to the call. And so this morning, I just wanted to do something that wasn't necessarily thought about when we were planning a celebratory service, getting ready to have a promotion for some interns. But I felt like this morning that there is going to be a call for this morning for those of you that say, man, I just need to say yes to God because what his plans are greater than mine. And so all across this place, whether you raise your hand or not, can you be able to just be able to pray underneath the sound of your own voice as I pray over you this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that God, the individuals who raised their hands or the individuals who did not, God, that this morning that Simon Peter, our interns, God, all these wonderful examples can teach us a lesson this morning. That God, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of trial, God, in the midst of us not even knowing what the future has, that God, we can say yes to you, and you will fulfill your promises. Father, those that are dealing with health problems right now, those that are dealing with family relational problems right now, those that are dealing with financial struggles right now, God, whatever is opposing us this morning, we know that if we keep our eyes set on you, that the greatest part about it is, and what Pastor Jason has been talking about, is that we are called in Scripture more than conquerors. God, we're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. And God, we declare victory over every individual inside this place. That, Father, that victory is going to be something that we cling on to, because God, when you are for us, nothing can be against us. And so, Father, this morning, as we get ready to head into this wonderful time to promote our seniors, to promote our interns this morning, God, I want us to not just move on by and not have this be another opportunity, just to be able to say yes to you and your call. And so, Father, if we're here this morning, God, and that's us, God, allow this to inject faith into our spirits this morning. God, don't allow us to walk out the same way that we came in this morning. God, allow this to be a time where we can say yes to you. And just because we say yes, you will honor us even more so than we can ever believe and imagine. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. With that being said this morning, I now we get to, I guess that some of you might say, the fun part. And I'm going to slowly invite one up at a time. And I want you guys to know, these interns have served your church well. Over the course of these past 2 years, man, I've asked them to do things that some would look at might be daunting. Some would look at and say, Chase, but why are you having to do these things? Man, and they have just stepped up and decided to be servants. And so I just want you guys to know, because they've served you well, not because you need to gain anything from this, but I want us as a church to be able to celebrate and be able to honor them. So every time I call them up, can you guys just give them a big Parkway welcome? With this first individual that we're going to invite up, being promoted from her first year to her second year of the internship program, please give it up for Miss Ayla Graves as she makes her way up to the stage. For those of you, maybe your eyes are not that great, or maybe you're sitting in the back, yes, there are Texas Roadhouse rolls that were part of their gift this morning, because if you know the interns, they love Texas Roadhouse rolls, so we had to make sure that was on there. I would say it is probably pretty chilly, though, so I apologize. I just took them out of the freezer this morning, so hopefully they're not too thawed out yet. Graduating the two-year internship program while continuing his studies to become a certified minister is Marcos Chumacero. I think I said that right, but give it up for Marcos as he makes his way up. I had to fulfill my promise. We weren't able to go to lunch at Texas Roadhouse this year, but I had to make sure that Texas Roadhouse came to them. All right, graduating the two-year internship program while currently in his licensing process, as I explained earlier, is Mr. Jaden Smotherman, if he can make his way up. I would say he's currently serving our sound and media in the back, so if this microphone goes out, I'm going to have to start yelling, because we no longer have a sound guy, so it'll be all good, though. Jaden officially has his Texas Roadhouse rolls. All right. And last, but certainly not least, an individual who I had mispronounced his name when he first got here. I did well last year when he got promoted, but graduating the two-year internship program with his target date of being a licensed minister in the fall is Mr. Jacob Schindel. Yeah. Go ahead and make your way up, Jacob. These four individuals have stayed faithful. When I was reading, the last thing I'll say, and then Pastor Jason's going to come up, as I coined him this morning in our pre-service prayer or huddle, I said that he was going to be the prayer guy this morning, so he's going to come up and close our service and pray for each of you. But as I was reading over Luke chapter 5, I was reminded about how each of you can compare to that story, about how there is a time where you had the option to say yes or no. And each of you guys have said yes, stayed faithful, and your character is shown throughout it. I know that oftentimes you can come to these moments, and I'll be the first to say it's awkward to be up here having everyone look at you and accepting a wonderful promotion and getting ready to continue on that journey that God has for you. But I want you guys to know I'm proud of you. If I haven't said so enough this year, I'm incredibly proud of you. And I want you guys to know that what God has for you, if you continue to say yes, my goodness, is it going to be worth it, because he fulfills his promises. Pastor Jason, if you want to be able to come up, give them one big round of applause one more time.
Could I boss you guys one more time? Could I have you guys come stand down here? Because I want to invite, if there's any board members or staff pastors and their families, if you guys want to send a couple representatives, and we're going to need some help with Marcos, because he's part of our family, right? And your family's in Bolivia. So we need some people to step in for Marcos. But if we could have some of our board members, elders, we want to make sure that we call the leaders of our church forward and let you guys know how proud of you guys we really are. If you're visiting here today and you want to know what kind of feeling is in the room, the kind of feeling is in the room, I believe, is the seed of the mantle that God's given our church to raise up individuals to send them out to ministry. There are so many churches that only really ever deal with the consumer Christian, and we have gotten away from what it means to equip people to do the work of the ministry. And the mantle on this house is not going to be consumerism. It's going to be the spirit of yes. And I believe that these four individuals represent hundreds of more that are about to come, not just from all over Southern Oregon, but all over the nation, to an internship program and a Bible college that's going to raise them up and it's going to send them out to be ministers of the gospel. We believe that. We believe that's part of our mantle. Part of our mantle of responsibility of calling on our church is that these four individuals are going to know that we're going to stand behind them wherever God sends them. We're not going to be selfish. We're not raising up people so that they can be art projects on our wall. We're raising these individuals up so that God can send them out to the four corners of this world to preach the gospel. Could you guys do me a quick favor before we start praying? Would you four turn around and look at me? And I want to just say something to you guys, and I want to just for a moment act like there's no one else in the room but you four. You guys said yes to a program that was not polished, that if I were to be honest, would say that it's not going to be all that it was going to be or is going to be, but there's going to be something that's going to come over your guys' ministry and life that is going to become so special because you guys decided to say yes to a program where the seeds that are in the ground are very infant in size. And God's going to have a special mark on your guys' life because you guys were willing to say yes, not to something that was polished, but something that was promised. And you guys are going to have something marked on your guys' life because you guys took a chance on a ministry that was at the start, not something that was at the end. And you're going to know that this church is going to get behind you wherever God calls you. We don't love you because you're close to us. We don't love you because you're at our church just right now, and one day if God calls you somewhere else, we're going to withhold that love. That's spiritual abuse, and we're not going to do that. We're going to love you and champion you wherever God calls you, wherever God sends you. We've been in this series on Sunday mornings about Exodus, about the journey of oppression that God taught the children of Israel, that, hey, Egypt is not just a place, it's actually a system. And there were six things that the Egyptians did to keep people into bondage. And one of them is they taught them how not to live a life not with having any margin left. And hopefully one of the lessons that we've taught you in the 2 years that you've been here is that your calling is going to teach you how to say no to a lot of things that the world wants you to say yes to. But the call of God and that yes is always going to be the greatest thing in your life. And if you'll keep that as a part of your life, there's no place that God won't call you, won't send you, won't direct you. And this pastor is so proud of you. Simon Peter, whose boat it was, several chapters later, Jesus said, on that yes, I'm going to build the church. And I'm going to give you keys. And these keys are going to give you the ability to unlock doors and bind things and loose things. And what you've learned over 2 years is that the kingdom of God, the doors that you walk through, there are certain keys, and Pastor Chase laid it out so wonderfully. It's the power of the yes. That if you will learn how to, with your life, serve other people and serve him well, there is nothing that God can't do and won't do for you. This pastor in this church is so proud of you. Many people would think that this might be a waste of a Sunday. I want you guys to know this is what we are all about. We are all about raising up people to send them out in the ministry. Amen. What you guys are going to feel, I've always told when I was an intern director for 11 years and had the opportunity to raise up a little over 100 students, the most important day of your internship program is the day after you graduate. For 2 years, many of you, for a year, you guys have been forced to get in your word. Just because you guys have to go to Bible college on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the teacher will force you to open up your Bible to learn and study it. The most important thing that I can tell you to do is tomorrow when you wake up, no one's going to force you to get in your word. No one's going to force you to your knees to pray. No one's going to force you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidences of what that brings. But the most important thing that you can do tomorrow when you wake up is to say, Lord, I've already given you a yes, but now I'm going to give you another yes. Because what you learn as you get older is that the yeses change. When you get married and you have a spouse, that yes is different than the yes that you have now. When you have children, that yes is going to be different than the yes that you have now. That there's going to be moments of conversion your whole life where God's not going to stop asking or requiring of you that yes. But here's what I'll tell you, and what the people around here will tell you, is boy, is it worth it. It will send you on an incredible adventure to reach people that the world will want to throw away. But you'll have an opportunity to love people because that's who Jesus came to die for. You'll never look into the eyes of someone who Jesus doesn't love. And you guys have the opportunity to do that. So here's what we're going to do. If you guys don't mind, would you guys stand up all over this room and stretch your hands towards them? And I want you to pray if these were like your sons and daughters, because they are sons and daughters of Parkway. And I'm going to put this microphone down and we're going to take 90 seconds here. And we're going to pray the prayer of faith as God commands us to do as leaders of this house. And we're going to pray that God's going to open the doors that he wants to open, shut the doors that he wants to shut, and whatever God wants to do with these lives, we're going to say yes in Jesus' name. So would some of you guys just begin to take the lead over praying for some of these and maybe praying an individual word over them? And let's pray now. Would you guys pray? As I've been praying for you guys just for this last few moments, the Holy Spirit has highlighted this word to me that this group, even in your own individual lives growing up, felt like you guys were oftentimes overlooked. And the enemy thought that he had you guys hidden in obscurity, never to be used or found by God. And the Lord wants me to tell you that what's going to come out of your hiddenness or obscurity is going to be four mighty men and women of God that are going to change the world. And when I think about your guys' individual stories, when I think about Ayla, the story of your life over the last 3 years that I've known it, and Jacob, you coming to a place of saying, yes, I have a call of God in my life, and Marcos taking a chance and coming to where you came. And if I remember your story correctly, you were in our sanctuary getting ready to say, I'm going to go end my life. And as you walked out that door, Chase and Leanna met you in the hallway, and God found you at a place of vulnerability, and where you thought that there was obscurity or hiddenness, God is now going to use your life for greatness. In Jesus' name. Jaden, you haven't been the prototypical pastor's kid. I've watched you learn and grow your whole life and have a softness towards the things of God. And where God has hidden you under your mom and I, God's getting ready to break you out in an incredible way. And I just want you guys to know how meaningful this prayer is because I know what I'm praying. That God is going to send Jaden and Marcos and Jacob and Ayla to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's my kid. And there's something inside of me as a father that I want to keep. I want to shield. I want him to play it safe. But I just want you to know, son, that God's got something so great on your life. In comparison, and I'm not saying that we compare, but that God's got something so special for you that it's going to be so marked that there's been times when you feel like you've been hidden or obscure, but God has used that to create a burden in you that's going to touch people's lives. I always tell my wife over my son, and I always tell Jaden this, Jaden's going to make 1,000 times better pastor than I've ever could even think about being. There's something about him that is so special that he listens, that he cares deeply, that he has eyes on the student that no one really has eyes on. And I'm thankful that God's son has a mark on your life. And Marcos, God's got a mark on your life. And Jacob, God's got a mark on your life. And Ayla, God's got a mark on your life. And so, Lord, we pray into this moment. Lord, and we say, man, we're so grateful that if all we ever do is produce these four, it was enough. But Father, I have a suspicion that this is a seed that's going to go in the soil of this ministry that's going to become, man, like an oak tree to the world, that this place is going to be known for the raising up and sending out of young people and people that are called all over this world. So enemy, we tell you over these four, you be rebuked in the mighty name of Jesus, that the plans that you have for them are squandered and the plans that God has for them are going to be mighty and powerful, and we declare this over them in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you that their best days are ahead, and out of obscurity, you're going to bring a momentous world changers to the forefront. And we declare this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. Would you guys give these young people a big round of applause? Yes. Thank you. Chase, before we close service, I want you to come up here really quickly. And I want you to talk about some of the plans that you and Pastor Kent have had about opening our Bible college up, not just to the young adults on Tuesday and Thursdays, but there is a stirring in your heart to have a Bible college on Tuesday and Thursday night. And talk about where that burden's coming from and why it's there.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to give you guys the 60-second cliff notes, of course, all the details and logistics are still being worked out. But, man, just the value about coming together and studying and diving into the Word of God is just so powerful. We've, of course, been able to see it with our young adults, but there's even individuals who have taken classes, and i.e. an individual like Bobby Hilke, who's been able to take classes. And if you're here this morning, I just want you to know, if this is solely for you to continue to develop that foundation in the Word of God, then there's going to be an opportunity for you to come. But then also, maybe you're here and you're like, I don't know why, but the Lord's stirring it up inside of me to possibly go get my certification or to go get my license. There's also going to be an opportunity to further those classes. And so the plan is to have a class, at least one class at nighttime a week. That'll be over the course of about a 10 to 12 week segment where you guys can come, be able to learn from all of our wonderful Bible college teachers, just people who have, man, just are grounded in the Word of God. And we're going to be taking classes, and it's really going to be kicking off in the fall. And so I would just encourage you guys, if you're maybe one of those individuals that fits those criteria, please just stay tuned, because there'll be some more updates coming up here shortly. So
there, you guys have to know the deficit that ministers and ministries are in. Cross-denomination lines, non-denominational lines. Churches, especially in rural areas, are having to close doors because there's not enough people that are willing to say yes to the call of God that God's placed on their heart. Right now, today, it's our second Sunday where we have actually sent some ministers over to the Glendale Assembly of God Church. And there's a high likelihood over the next 2 or 3 months that the Lord is going to allow us to have a second campus. And our second campus is going to be in Glendale. We're really excited about it. The reason why we're excited about that is because Jesus came to die for the people of Glendale too. And it's amazing to us that when we think about missions and God using our life, we often think about God sending us to India or China or Africa. But yet we have so many of these communities that are all throughout Southern Oregon that have largely been forgotten about. They've had meals and stuff closed down. The industry, there's a poverty spirit over them. There's so many young people in those communities that are dealing with anxiety and depression and thoughts of suicide. And then God says to a church, well, what about you raising up people to go send them out to places like Glendale? Places that are like all over this Southern Oregon region, because I don't believe that Jesus just came and died for Grants Pass. Come on, somebody. I believe that he came and did die for all of this Southern area, Oregon region. And it's our job to be able to raise people up and equip them for the work of the ministry. And so we're believing. We're not believing that God is going to do something small. We're not going to believe that we're just going to be those kinds of Christians that get a bunker and survive. We believe in an advancing kingdom where the Bible says the gates of hell are not going to prevail against us. And so that's the kind of church that we want to be in or endeavoring to be. And so If you're new here this morning, this is not like a normal service for us, but we do not apologize. We're thankful that God is using and raising up men and women of God to reach our world. And if you're looking for a kind of church like that, then look to your neighbor right now and say, you came to the right church. You came to the right church. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over us. And we're going to be dismissed tonight, 5 o'clock. You didn't want to miss our prayer and worship service over in the fellowship hall. And then I'm going to do this just for each and every one of you, if you guys want to. I'm going to walk over. One of us staff members is going to go walk over in a few moments. And we're going to open up the sanctuary. And we want you guys to walk through our sanctuary. The chairs are in. Come on, somebody. And so we want you guys to go over there and take a look. And the workers are still working, so you got to be respectful of that. But they might be done with the upper deck too. So my upper deck people, I think your chairs are in. Come on, somebody. I think they're in. But if you guys would, we'll just give us 10 or so minutes and we'll walk over there. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time of celebration. We have, I'd say, 2 to 3 or 4 weeks left in here. Somewhere in there, we've got some logistical things that we've got to work through, but God is good, and we're a church on the move, and we're thankful for each and every one of you. Father, we pray a prayer of blessing over our people today. We ask that you protect them, give them great provision. Father, we ask for raises and jobs and promotions in Jesus' name, not because as Americans we need one more thing, but because our heart is to be a bigger blessing to the kingdom of God that is around us. Father, we thank you for every opportunity that we're going to have this week to spread your word, that you'd give us the courage and power through your Holy Spirit to be beacons of light in this community. And we pray this in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. Give me 10 minutes and we'll be over there. And God bless you guys.